And welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. Today we have an excellent film involving some great vampires, but I don't think I'm ruining anything there. I have the wonderful director here who's got a very long title, so we'll try to get it right. Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road.
Woo!
And I have director Austin Cochran here.
Austin Galante.
Pardon?
Austin Galante.
It doesn't say that on here. It says Austin.
Yeah, got the wrong name on there.
Oh, see, now he's just throwing me off because I only wrote down Austin in my notes. So welcome either way. You have a very lengthy film here, and I want to get into this. I mean, it's long. There's nothing wrong with it being long. I think you get your whole story out. How much time did you shoot is what I want to get at to start off.
Well, let's see. We had 6 days that the main cast, like everybody that was in the RV and at the cabin, we had 6 days to shoot anything that was cabin and RV related, because several of those guys at least were flown in, and you know, I had them for the week. So it was like getting everyone together. And then some of the other scenes, the more kind of satellite scenes that didn't involve like Jason Rouse and Charlie Mack, they were shot probably over, I'm going to say, another 10 days, maybe. I might be wrong, but sort of like, you know, weekend here, whatever, like spread out a little bit. Because, you know, some of the other actors, like, for example, the Roman Popina scene, you know, both of those actors were flown in for that weekend to shoot that scene. Yeah, so I don't know, somewhere roughly 14 to 16 days. I don't remember.
Oh, that's
sure,
right.
But
No, it feels like to me longer than a week. You know, sometimes
yeah.
I get films are a week, but this one feels very lengthy. Like you have a lot going on. You have a very long story, which is great. There's no issues. I'm not getting at that. I'm just saying, just so people know. So let's go back. You've already brought up the cabin, the RV. Let's discuss who owns the RV.
Well, they Wisconsin RV World. At the time is who owned the RV, and they sponsored the movie and let us use it for the week, but they sold it to a different company. Like
that's
they
fine.
just went out of business or whatever. I don't know.
Things
got
happen.
tired of it, sold it to somebody else. So,
and the cabin's
yeah.
a rental then.
It is a rental. Yeah, it was, it's a friend of a friend's cabin, so they let us use it for 6 days.
That's a nice perk.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
Cabin
So
rentals are expensive.
Yeah, they are. That's what I was thinking. This looks like a very nice cabin. So let's get behind the backstory of that. Okay. Your opening shot. I mean, I love the colors of the building. Like, I just think they really pop for me right off the top on your opening shot. So my question is that why you picked this, or it just all worked out well?
Yeah, I mean, partially. Yeah, it was just trying to find a place that looked, you know, like a 2,000-year-old or whatever, however old vampire, you know, like he's had time to accumulate wealth. So, you know, it be strange if he was just in your regular neighborhood house. So, I used that place because it had, you know, the number of the different aspects that I needed to make the scene work.
Oh, let's discuss. I mean, your opening vampire, I mean, I kind of like him. Like, he seems like a normal person, but you're just saying, I could see him living in my house down the street. Like, he really just feels like that guy. He's having a good time. He's having fun. He just wants to enjoy himself.
Yeah. So, you know, without giving away too much, you know, it was meant to show sort of like, you know, he's alone on his own time, behaving differently than he would if he has all these other people. You know what I mean? Like, just a little more free in his home environment. And then, you know, he's a little bit of a dick part of the rest of it. More matter of fact, you know?
Actually, I like him by the end. So when you were writing this script, did you know what his buddies were all going to be, look like, feel like, or you just sort of discover that in the casting process?
I knew pretty much what they were going to look like. I had, before I wrote it, I knew who most of the main cast was going to be. I had someone else cast as the part for Kano. They're a fairly well-known comedian, but they got sick about, they had a health issue about a month before, and they were having some like serious, like not supposed to fly kind of issues.
That's a big one.
And also like blood clot, right? Like, so also not supposed to, the fight scene would have been dangerous, right? So we just kind of both agreed like, hey, let's work together on another, the next one, or whatever, and ended up casting somebody else for that part. And then I wrote Ricky Pete's part for LaBelle Crawford because he's the guy who plays Alamo, Juan Hooks. His cousin is LaBelle Crawford, and so, you know, I met him, and you know, they're friendly and whatever. So LaBelle, I don't know, looked over the script or read it or whatever, but he decided not to do it. I don't know if I didn't ask why, you know. I don't know if it was
Wasn't
money
for
or,
him.
right? Like, he probably makes $3,000 or $4,000 a show just to go do stand up or something, you know. So like, I can't. It would have purely been if he was like willing to take a super pay cut, and clearly, I don't know if that was it or if he just thought the script sucked. I don't know. But anyway, so I had him in mind. That's who I wrote the part for. And then when he wouldn't do it, I basically kind of just went on a scouring the internet trip around IMDb and Backstage and several places where people post their casting resumes and stuff like that. And I had Jason Rouse sent me several bigger black comedians. And they actually, they were like, yeah. And then I just didn't get
Yeah.
an audition back from them. Like a month later, I got, hey, are you still like, no. But anyway, so I found, Charlie Mack. I watched some of his, he had done some, I think, on green screen, and maybe one was just like in his apartment, but they were little skits that he had written, and he was like playing the parts of different characters. And so I ended up going, he sent an audition, and he did a really nice job. So I had someone basically in mind, but then I had one, when that fell through, I had to find a very large black man to replace him.
I find your camaraderie between your actors phenomenal. They all seem to like each other, seem to be having a good time. This seems like a real boys' trip. Did you find that while shooting, they were gelling really well?
So several of them are like longtime friends.
Ah,
Juan
okay.
and I have been friends for 30 years or something. And you know, I've known and worked with Matt for probably what, like the last 4.5 years. He was in the first movie that I made. It was a very low budget, like, you know, couple $1,000 movie. Let's see if we can do this kind of thing. So we were friends, and then you know, Charlie Mack's just a really personable guy, and Jason Rouse is a great dude. I've known him for a long time. We got to be a lot better friends over the course of, you know, making the film, and he's also in the next two movies that I just got done shooting. But he's been a really good friend of Juan's for since Juan and I used to live out in L.A. like 15 years ago, I think, probably now. And so Juan's known him and been good friends with him. So there's some friend friendships there, right? And then, you know, everyone got along really pretty well and had a good time. And, you know, they're all really good, charismatic actors, I think.
I agree.
Myself personally, I think that, and so they're playing off of each other, I think, you know, on screen, really, it comes off as natural, I think, for the most part. Hopefully I'm right.
Yeah, you're good. You're totally good with me. I'm the bunny mask. Where did that come from?
I just ordered that offline. I found it online looking for something
And
silly
the
for
end of. Who did the animation?
which animation are we talking about?
I'm sure, but after the bunny, I'm just going by my notes that I wrote down. I didn't write the scene with the animation in it. Don't worry about it. We
Animation.
can move on. The pool dance. I quite like the pool dance. Was that your choreography?
So that was my direction, not my choreography. That was me saying like, hey, I want you to do some sort of like playful, like James Brown type of like, you know, get funky in the pool, you know. And so he just kind of like, we filmed for a little while and he just like danced around in the
I
pool
liked
for a
that. It
while.
was very funny. It was very, very funny.
I ended up cutting it down. I probably had an extra another like 40 seconds in there or something,
I would have
and
taken another 40 seconds. It would have made me happy, but that's okay.
it was
The radio station, 93.1, The Jam. Is there just a made up, obviously made up? Or is
No,
that
that's a real station.
a. Really? I
Yeah.
have no idea. I have to ask. I'm like, I like the name. That's pretty cool. Maybe you made it up.
Yeah, and the DJ there is a friend of mine as well. So, you know, he was in the scene. I wrote the scene like with him in mind to play the part. He did a small part in the first movie that I did too, and he's also in
What a
the
surprise!
next one. Oh, that's a surprise. I like, you know, if I find people that I like that are nice, I like work with them. Why not?
That's great. I would. Okay, when you bite people in the film, there's really not a lot of blood. Is there a reason for that?
Not other than just I you know, I didn't really think it was terribly necessary, right? Like it's there's enough blood to let you know that they're like drinking, right? Like it's not like pouring out of their face or anything. It wasn't meant to be like so. In writing it, my goal was to try and figure out how to make the scene humorous over gross, you know what I mean?
I do.
So yeah, so like even though there's gore in some things, like it's not like super gory or whatever, and
No,
I didn't
not in any way.
so you know, like you might have someone's head cut off and it's a little bloody or whatever, but it's more about the humor of the dialogue than having like, you know, neck parts hanging out and stuff.
Well, I just thought it was more of a comedy, is what you were going for. Like it's just a fun comedy, like a buddy comedy almost. And they just happen to be vampires. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So you do take them to a bar location at one point. Now, whose bar is that? And did you actually take the RV there, is what I wanted to ask.
It's a bar called Pork's Hilltop Bar. It's a small town. I believe that one is in DeSoto, Wisconsin. So the cabin is actually in DeSoto, Wisconsin, but it's like, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. And then, you know, I think we drove like 10 minutes into the town. The town is probably like 400 people or something. I don't know. Very small, very small. And that is, I think, the bar in that town. I don't know if there's another one or not. The town is, pardon me, the town is right on the Mississippi River. And so I think, you know, people pass through there, this little town, quite a bit for fishing and boat trips and stuff like that. But yeah, they let us use it for a morning. So we basically, packed them, jumped in the RV, and drove to the bar, shot the scene, and went back.
The cave.
That is in Harmony, Minnesota. It's a cave called the Niagara Caves, and it's just a cave
Okay, that's
system.
cool. Pawn shop.
The antique mall is an antique mall called New Generations. That's also in Harmony, and I was sort of like, so we that day was an extremely hard day to shoot because we went from packing up everything at the cabin. So we had stayed there all week. That was the last day of shooting. We packed up, everybody got in the RV. We had a follower truck that also had gear in it. Left early in the morning. I think got to the caves at like, I want to say 7 or 8 in the morning. Shot the cave scene for about an hour or so. Then the antique mall was just like, 5 minutes away or something. Drove there, shot that whole scene till like noon or something, and then we drove all the way back to Madison where we had another scene at like 4:30 or so in the afternoon. But when it was scheduled, like we had to fit it in somewhere, and we only had so much time, so that was the best way I could figure out how to schedule the shoot. And then originally there was another actress who was going to play the part of that girl who's hitchhiking,
Yes.
and she was going to be flying in from Vegas, and then she just like kind of flaked it and whatever. But I had to be able to, get back there for that day for because I needed those guys and her at the same time, so I couldn't just shoot it on a random day. But she ended up flaking, and I ended up working with a different girl. But
Oh. So, okay, there's a problem. So you've called the girl from Vegas. She's supposed to show up. She doesn't show up. How do you find your other girl that quickly?
so it wasn't quite like that. So I had started to notice that she was being kind of not just not very responsive,
I've been
you
there.
know what I mean? And like
Totally do.
certain people, when they start to behave like that, you just kind of start to get this feeling like this doesn't feel right. And then I'd reached out again and been like, hey, have you taken care of this? And then about a week before she and in this time I was like, okay, this isn't
Right.
feeling right. So I reached out to someone else then, and I was like, hey, would you be willing to be a backup if this girl doesn't show up or whatever? And so I had actually ended up writing the pool scene as it's sort of like, hey, will you be the backup for this scene if she doesn't show up? If she does show up, I'll put you in this scene at the pool or whatever. So the other girl didn't show up, so she played that role. And
Ah.
so I ended up I actually added a couple of scenes after the script was entirely written, because of like that situation. And then Jason Horton was supposed to fly in to play a different part, and it was the day that the FCC computers all crashed.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
So, and it was supposed to be in another city. Like, we were going to shoot it in Des Moines, Iowa, which was like 5 hours away. So I'm like driving to Des Moines, Iowa, and I'm, he's calling me and being like, I've been here since 6, and the computer, because nobody knows really fully what's going on, and like slowly people are getting more and more information. And eventually it was just like, he'd been there for like 6 hours or something like that, and he was like, hey, I don't think I can just sit here and wait anymore, so I'm like, okay, well, how about if I just write a different scene and we have you come back a different day? And he was like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, so it happens. We all have issues like that. Adding sound effects to things, how much fun was that?
I mean, that's always kind of fun, you know, like going through and being like, what will be good here, you know. I do a lot of I do the Foley and the sound design and stuff for the film. So some parts are more fun than others, right? Like some parts, like you get to be really creative, and then some you get kind of stuck on, and you're like, hey, I don't really know what to do here. But yeah, it's fun.
Well, what best about having a radio station is you get to play music. And there's lots of music in this film. So where's your music come from?
Well, let's see. You know, some of the songs are old songs, but most of them are songs that I made. You know, I've been making music for like 30 years or something. So over the years, I've made a lot of songs. I used to be in a band called Bad Fathers, and you know, I think we made like three albums or something, and kind
Good
of
for you.
toured around the country and stuff. So, you know, I have access to use those some of those songs whenever they fit. And then I've been producing music for on my own probably like 20 years or something. So I've kind of built a catalog of different songs that I've made, and then I've got a lot of stuff that's just sitting on hard drives where I'm like, this is kind of cool. I'm not sure what to do with it. So I've got, you know, hundreds of songs that I can sort of pile through and let's try this. You know,
Yeah, I like it.
so I kind of get to do that. I've made music for a long time, you know, like wanting to play songs in movies and stuff, and I've placed a few in a few movies, but this is pretty cool being able to have my own where I can just, you know, and if I don't have anything that fits, then I just make something,
I
right?
think that's great. That must be so good to be a Renaissance man, to do everything. Something I can't do. The lottery conversation. Did this happen to you?
No. It was just a you know, like a thought, right? Like sort of what if conversation.
The comments on the washroom, how did you write them? Were
Are
they
we
there?
talking about the bathroom scene?
In the bar, yes. There's comments on the wall. Maybe you didn't even notice them.
Comments on the wall. And you're talking about in the gas station?
I could have been, I don't know. I just have it after the lottery conversation in my notes. God, I'll take better notes for you next time. I'll write down the exact scenes.
Yeah,
I
I'm
just.
trying to think what that is.
Don't worry, we can move on.
Okay.
What's in the woodpile.com made me laugh so hard. Is this an actual site? I meant to look it up.
No, it's
I
not.
thought that was great. I really
I
think that should be a name of the movie, What's in the Woodpile.
think.
I have no
Yeah.
idea what the film would be about, but I'm sure dead bodies or something. Or... So, do you ever write a joke and it just makes you laugh? You're like, I gotta put that in somewhere.
Yeah, quite a bit. And then sometimes they're stupid, but sometimes they work.
Oh, I don't care if they're stupid. I like stupid jokes. They make me laugh. I watched so many movies. Make me laugh, please. I think the
It
hardest thing to do is make people laugh. I really do.
is hard. Yeah.
Okay, switch to black and white. Why? It's near the end of the film. You do switch to black and white. I'm gonna write down scenes for you next time. The scene that's gonna make it easier because I have switched to black. There must be a color switch at some point near the end.
Which scene is it?
It's right near the end. It has to be. There has to be a switch to black and white because I can just tell my notes where I am. Okay, next time you come on here, I promise you I'll make actual notes of where the scenes take place.
Because that's weird. Like in the first movie I did, I have a full-on switch to black and white. Oh, okay. When they're leaving the bar, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I just thought it was sort of an interesting way to change to the voyeuristic point of view. Because they're, you know, like you're sort of having this weird voyeuristic look at them, you know, doing what they're doing. So I thought it was a sort of a nice way to just set that apart or change the feeling of what was happening.
So when you're writing for this many characters, do you have a side draft or you just write? There's no sidebar with like maybe a character description I need them to get to here? Or do you write scenes and then go to other scenes? I'm just interested because your film is very long and very, I wouldn't say condensed. I mean, it's a very full story. It's like almost a full weekend. And I just meant, do you have that all plotted out ahead of time or you don't know where you're going to end up? Or maybe you do.
I know where I'm going to end up. I usually, so I'll kind of come up with an idea, right? Like just a concept for a story, and then sort of start building on it. And when I'm just doing things or spare time, and I'll take notes on what it is that I'm sort of going for. And maybe, maybe there's a few scenes that pop into my mind. I'll usually have like a scene page, and I'll have a story arc page, and then I'll have a character development page. So I work on what who these people are, or what who the characters are, what they're about, where they've been, and all that. And then I'll create an arc for the story where I go like, okay, they're going to do this thing, and they're going to do this thing and this thing. And so I usually have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen, where they're going to go. This script is a lot longer, and I did do some totally random add-ins, right? Like
Oh, okay.
where it was to include actors, right? Like the Jason Horton scene where we're sitting at the park. After, I've already got this story written, and I'm like, shit, I still want to have him in the movie. Where would it make sense? Like, how could I put him in there, right? So I had to add that, even after the script was already completely finished. And there's a couple scenes like that. The first scene, not the first scene, but the swimming pool scene is an added scene later, and that was sort of to like security or backup, to be able to offer this girl like, hey, I know this is super inconvenient, like will you hold your day for me? Like, who wants to go on big movies? They pay you to do that generally.
Yes,
they'll
they
they'll
do.
put you on hold, and I don't have a budget for that, right? So to be able to offer her another part if that falls, if the other girl came through. So that was sort of like, I need to figure out something here to offer her. So I added, and there's a couple spots like that where, or just random things that came up where, you've got a script written and you're like thinking about things. You go, oh my God, that would be hilarious. We should put that in there. Sometimes that shit happens, but
I love it.
in the new movies, there's a few spots like that where, like Jason Rouse is, I don't know if you've watched any of his stand-up comedy or not.
I
He's
have not.
a really funny comedian, but he's really crass, and like on set sometimes he'll just like he's on the phone, you're talking, and you feel like you're getting a stand-up comedy
Oh,
show
I
after.
love it. I love
Right, like
it.
so it's a lot of fun, but sometimes things are happening, and or something sparks and you're like, hey, let's try this real quick. So some of that stuff happens where it's like in that movie there is some improv, not a lot. It's usually like a few words at the end of an already pre-planned out dialogue. The one spot where I had left it completely open was in the antique mall. I write them into there. I write them having the conversation, and then I go, "All right, guys, have fun."
Yeah,
So then we just kind of like let them roam around and say random shit because you've got a few comedians just talking shit.
I
Which
love it.
if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. But there was some funny shit, so I left
No,
it
there's some good stuff in there. But before I let you go, can I get your favorite film?
in. Ooh, favorite, like all time favorite, or just like a film I really like.
Whatever makes you happy.
I mean, there's a lot. I really like Monty Python's Holy Grail.
One of my favorites. Absolutely amazing film.
It's one of my favorites. Like, I like a lot of movies. Fifth Element, Carlito's Way. I don't know. There's a lot.
Perfect. Your favorite horror film?
Favorite horror film. That always kind of like catches me off guard. I like different horror films for different reasons. Like, Psycho is really good. It's a neat thing to watch for what it was for the time, and I enjoy, some of the pacing and how it was done. I don't know if it's my favorite, but I definitely think about it a lot.
That's fine. Keep the next one for the next interview. Don't go any further. We'll save it. And last one's easy. Your favorite food?
Tacos.
There you go. Tell everybody where they can find your projects, please.
Sangma Teeth on a Driftless Road is currently streaming on Fossum. It will be on Tubi in March. And then I've got another film that will be coming out this spring. And it should be, on Tubi and probably Fossum.
Okay.
Sangma Teeth on a Driftless Road is the current movie that I just released, and What Have We Won will be coming out in, I don't know, 4 months or something, 3 months.
Thank you for your time and have a great day.
Thank you.
I'm coming.